is not understandable by those who are materially absorbed. Under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master, one becomes gradually purified. Therefore, one must be in the chain of disciplic succession and learn the spiritual art of submissive hearing. In the case of Sutta Goswami and the sages of Naimasharanya, all these conditions are fulfilled because Srila Sutta Goswami is in the line of Srila Vyasadeva, and the sages are sincere souls who are anxious to learn the truth. Thus, the transcendental topics of Lord Sri Krishna's superhuman activities, his incarnation, his birth, appearance, or disappearance, his forms, his names, and so on, are all easily understandable because all requirements are fulfilled. Such discourses help all men on the path of spiritual realization. Om Ajnanti Mitandasya Jnananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurupe Namaha. Sutta Goswami is being approached by the sages of Naimasharanya, and they are, first of all, expressing how eager they are to learn about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his incarnations. And with great humility, they are putting themselves at the feet of this great soul, anxious to hear. This is a very important and essential quality that is to be cultivated on the path of bhakti, the quality of eagerness. When we hear from a proper representative of disciplic succession, we should know that every syllable that they speak, due to their repeating previous authorities, is impregnated with the power of Krishna. Every syllable that they speak can actually purify our minds and purify our hearts and awaken the propensity for loving service to the Lord. But the message acts according to our receptivity. And the proper receptacle for transcendental knowledge is the heart that is eager to hear, enthusiastic to hear. When we hear the message of the Bhagavatam, we should not think it to be a ritual or a formality. We should actually understand that this message is a matter of life and death. It is a question of either rotting in this material existence, birth after birth, or being liberated to the ecstatic position of loving servant of the Lord. It is not something that can be put off for another day. When you are eager for something, you must have it now, today. That is eager. We should come to hear the message of the Lord like a person who is in the desert and whose mouth is parched and who is every limb, every cell, and every pore of his body is drying up, coming to a reservoir of pure and fresh water. We should be that eager, and even more. And when we have that eagerness, that transcendental greed to hear about the Lord, to learn the process of serving the Lord, and then to put into action what we hear through devotional service, then the message of the Bhagavatam immediately acts in the most wonderful, miraculous way to purify our lives, to awaken our dormant Krishna consciousness. And of course, spiritual reciprocation is based on this principle. To the degree we are eager to hear and serve Krishna, to that degree Krishna is eager to reveal himself to us. And in the same way, to the degree we are eager to hear about Krishna, to that degree those who are preaching Krishna consciousness are eager to speak to us. So why we are not so eager? Why we are eager sometimes to read the newspapers every morning to see what type of disasters have taken place around the world, or to hear about various political upheavals, or why we are so eager to turn on the television to just lose ourselves in some illusory fantasy land of Maya. As long as we have taste for these things, that eagerness for Krishna consciousness is obstructed. So therefore, we have to put aside these other things. And to extent we are willing to put aside material subject matters, mundane, unnecessary subject matters in our life, and focus our attention on our only true hope, which is Krishna, Krishna Katha, then we become eager. And also, if we associate with people who are eager for Krishna, we become eager for Krishna. And if we associate with people who are eager for Maya and complacent about spiritual life, we will also definitely take on those qualities. So we should somehow or other, within the situation that we are living in at the time, we should try to create an atmosphere in our life by which this eagerness for devotional service can be cultivated and we can progress. And that is why we come to Sri Radha Gopinath Temple on Sundays or on as many days as possible to associate with people who are really eager for God consciousness, who want to speak, who want to chant the glories of the Lord. In that atmosphere, we want to chant the glories of the Lord. We want to make Krishna first in our life. Everything we do should be to cultivate this desire to hear about Krishna. In fact, Bhagavatam explains, Srindatam Sukata Krishna Punja Sravana Kirtana Ridyantasto Yabhadani Vidunoti Suhitsatam Nasta Prayesha Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavati Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. That for one who has genuinely and sincerely developed a taste for hearing the message of Godhead, Krishna is so pleased with that person's eagerness to hear about him that from within the heart he cleanses all unwanted things and reveals himself. How to develop that aspiration? How to develop that spontaneous desire to hear Krishna's glories, to chant his glories? That is also explained in Bhagavatam. Shushushro Shadadhanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Sian Maha Vipra Punya Sravana Kirtana. That by serving those devotees who are on that platform, by serving the servants of those devotees who are on that platform, great service is done. And through that, Krishna awards us the eagerness to hear his glories and to chant his holy names. And whether we are brahmacharis, sannyasis, grihastas, vanaprastas, that is not very important. What is important is in the situation we are in, we are trying to cultivate these qualities. And according to the Vaishnav culture, there are so many wonderful ways to develop these spiritual qualities. One of them is to go on yatras in the association of devotees. We have just a few minutes back returned from a very nice yatra to holy places in the south part of India. And why do we go on these yatras? Materialistic people have natural inclination to take vacations. In where I am from, America, people go to Niagara Falls or Disney World or Disneyland or Grand Canyon or I don't want to enumerate too many of these places. But the idea is to just get away from all the chaos of their ordinary lives and to see something different and to enjoy, to forget reality and enjoy. They go to movies and all things like that. And usually on vacations what happens is because there's not so many pressing responsibilities for everyone, the whole family just gets in arguments and fights. I have seen. When everyone's at home, the children have their school, the mother has her cooking, the father has his business. So there's some sense of unity because they don't have to deal with each other so much. But when they're on vacation, they're all just sitting in a car traveling. Or they're sitting in hotel rooms. Or they just argue and fight and quarrel and everything. This is vacation. So that tendency is there. But the original source of that tendency is that people should want to go to holy places to remove themselves from all their worldly cares and worries and just be in the association of devotees and go to a holy place where the Lord has performed his lila and simply hear his glories and chant his glories 24 hours a day as far as possible and become spiritually rejuvenated, surcharged, and come home and with that divine energy that we have imbibed, we make our life, the quality of our life, more spiritually evolved. That is the purpose of these yatras. It is not a vacation. It is a necessary, required form of spiritual purification. Would you like for me to report to you some of the things? Yes? Of course, the other devotees know better, but I will speak a few words. We first went to Tirupati. We were, according to the time and facilities, trying to follow in the footsteps, to a small extent, of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's tour of South India. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he traveled to each and every holy place, hundreds, thousands of holy places. And wherever he went, he would worship the form of the Lord presiding in that place. He would hear and chant the glories of the Lord. And most of all, he would induce everyone around to dance with him and chant the holy names. So he came to Tirumala, and there he saw the beautiful deity of Balaji, and he danced in transcendental ecstasy before Balaji. And when the pujaris, the priests, and the general people saw this, just by seeing his beautiful golden form, their natural dormant love of Krishna was awakened. And they all began to dance ecstatically, chanting the holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So we went to Venkateshwar Mandir, but it's very difficult to follow in Lord Chaitanya's footprints, because there are queues, lines of tens and thousands of people. And ordinary line, we were there on Christmas Sunday, which is a holiday, holy day. It was about a 20 to 25 hour line. If you pay 50 rupees, it's about a 6-hour line. If you know Dr. Alwa, it's only about a 10-minute line. But in any case, as you're going in, it's very crowded, and they're just chalo, chalo, chalo. You have to kind of have darshan on the run as you're being pushed out. You're having the beautiful darshan. So to dance and chant in that atmosphere was not possible, but all of our devotees' hearts were dancing upon seeing the beautiful form of Balaji. Venkateshwar Temple has a wonderful story. I think we told the story one morning, but it took about 2.5 hours. And coming close to time for prasad, so I will not subject you. But in essence, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, after he was kicked in the chest by Bhrigu Muni, you know the story? Bhrigu Muni decided to see, on the request of all of the other saints and sages, who the greatest of the gods was. So he went to Lord Brahma, who was his father. And Brahma was very annoyed because he just walked right in on him, didn't announce himself or anything, and he showed no respect for Lord Brahma. So Brahma didn't really say anything, but in his heart, he was very much disturbed. And Bhrigu Muni could understand. I'm going to summarize. So he understood that he's not a very forgiving person, not supremely forgiving. In Kali Yuga, the best person to worship is whoever is the supreme most forgiving. Because in Kali Yuga, you need a lot of forgiveness for what you've done. So he went to Lord Shiva, his brother, and Shiva came to embrace him. He said, "What do you touch me with all those snakes and all your ashes of dead bodies? Huh? And what to speak of the people you associate with, bhutas and ghosts? Don't touch me." Shiva was upset. He took his trident. He was about to punish him. Parvati said, "No, he's a Brahmin. Please do not hurt him." Then he went to Vishnu Loka. And Lord Vishnu was resting. And Lakshmi was massaging his feet. And he just ran right up to Vishnu and kicked him on the chest. And Vishnu was very much sorry that he didn't greet him properly. I beg forgiveness, Vishnu said, that I didn't greet you properly. I should have stood up, but I was sleeping, I didn't know. But I'm most sorry because my chest is so hard and your lotus feet are so soft that I may have hurt you. So please let me massage your feet. And he began to massage Bhrigu Muni's feet. And Bhrigu Muni could understand that Lord Narayan is the supreme most forgiving. Therefore, he is the most worshipable of the gods. And he reported it to the saints and sages of Naimasharanya, and they were very happy. They continued their yajna. But Lakshmi was not happy at all. Because right in her presence, the Lord of her life was kicked in the chest by the foot of a Brahmin. And she was thinking that the fact that I saw this insult to you means I am covered with sin. And I cannot remain in Vaikuntha. I must go to the earth and perform tapasya in order to atone for the sin of seeing such an offense. So she left Vaikuntha and she went to Maharashtra, Rivo, you didn't realize what a holy place you are. And she went to Kolhapur. And there she performed tapasya. But while she was performing tapasya, she didn't tell anyone where she was going. She just came. Lord Narayan was feeling very lonely. But what is the use of Vaikuntha without Lakshmi Devi? All of the beauty of Vaikuntha, all of its luxury and opulence, is only for the purpose of creating an atmosphere for Lakshmi Narayan to enjoy together. There's no other reason. Just like in Vrindavan, all of the beauty and charm you read about Vrindavan is only for one purpose, to create an atmosphere in which Sri Radharani and Sri Gopinath ji can enjoy together. So the Lord decided he must go to find Lakshmi Devi. So he searched all over the world, but he could not find her. So then he decided that he would perform tapasya to bring her back. So he went to the place where Tirupati is now, Tirumal. There's a great mountain. That mountain is actually an incarnation of Ananta Shesh. The Lord, knowing that this Leela would take place and that he would incarnate on earth, he ordered Ananta Shesha to appear on earth and be his resting place. So Ananta Shesha came. And if you want to hear the details, you can get the 2.5 hour tape that we spoke in Tirupati. And the Lord came and he went into an ant hole and began to perform tapasya. And Brahma and Shiva, they were thinking that he's fasting. He has nothing to eat. We should give him something. So they went to Kolhapur to see Lakshmi Devi and they told her that your consort has not eaten anything. He's fasting and performing tapasya in the hole of ants. So they devised a plan. Brahma became cow, Shiva became calf, and Lakshmi became a cowherd girl. And they went to the local king of the Chola dynasty, and Lakshmi, in the form of a cowherd girl, says, "Would you like to buy this beautiful cow and calf?" And the king, "I have never seen such beautiful cow and calf. Yes, I want very much. Please give me." So he paid and they got. So he assigned the keeper of the cows to take care of this cow as well as many others. But every day that cow would come with no milk. back to the kingdom. Because every day when the cowherd man would fall asleep while the cows were grazing, he would run, she would run and give her milk to the Lord who was in the anthill, who in that incarnation was known as Srinivas, the beginning of Kali Yuga. So he was chastised by King. Why? Why no milk every day? You are stealing the milk from this precious cow. If tomorrow there is no milk, you will be punished. So that day, the cowherd man, pretending to sleep, saw the cow go away and start giving all her milk to this anthill. And he was so angry, he took a chopper, an axe, and went to kill the cow. And as the axe was coming down, Srinivas jumped up from the anthill and came between the cowherd man and the cow, and the axe hit him in the head. And he began to bleed profusely. And it's going to become a 2-hour story if I continue too much longer. But ultimately what happened is it's a long story. In fact, it's impossible to make it short. It's impossible to make it short. Anyways, what happened is he was put, this Mother Yashoda incarnated to serve the Lord, an expansion of Mother Yashoda, and she put this herbal chandan on his head to relieve the pain. And that is why you see Balaji always has this big tilak to cover the place where he was hit on the head. And that is a decoration, because to protect his devotee, he accepted so much pain himself. And ultimately he was reunited with Lakshmi and Padmavati, and he was worshipped by the demigods. There was grand wedding ceremony when they were reunited. And before he left this world back for Vaikuntha, right in front of everyone's eyes, he transformed into the beautiful deity of Balaji, or Venkateshwar. And to this day, that deity is standing on Tirumal Hill, accepting the worship and the devotion of all the devotees. So we had nice kirtan, sankirtan, nice storytelling sessions, nice darshans with Balaji, nice prasad, and everyone was quite happy. Then we went to Rameshwar. Rameshwaram is the place where Ramchandra appeared. After he discovered that Sita was in Sri Lanka, he and all of the monkey armies assembled at Rameshwaram. And Lord Sri Ramchandra went to a place called Setu Banda, the very tip of India in that section, where the Bay of Bengal and the Indian Ocean merged together. And at that place, he asked permission of the ocean, the sea, to build a bridge and cross. But the sea did not respond. So Ramchandra glanced with eyes so angry that the sea became so hot it began to practically boil. And all of the aquatics within the sea were on the source of extinction. And then the Lord of the Sea came forward and begged forgiveness from Ram and surrendered to his lotus feet and said, yes, please, you go. And Hanumanji, Sugriva, Angara, and the other soldiers, they built a bridge from Setu Banda. Now it is called Dhanur Tirtha. They built the bridge from there to Sri Lanka. Lord Chaitanya also bathed there. And according to the Shastra, Srila Prabhupada in his purport explains, anyone who bathes in this Dhanush Tirtha will never take birth again in this material world. So we went to take bath in Dhanush Tirtha. It wasn't easy either, because there's no road for many, many kilometers between Rameshwar village and Dhanush Tirtha. But because the devotees had great determination, somehow or other, through buses, four-wheel rickshaws, and long walks, we went to that place, and some of our devotees almost drowned to death to celebrate the occasion. But they were saved by the mercy of the Vaishnavas. It was a very beautiful experience. And Rameshwara deity, it's a beautiful story. After Ramchandra killed Ravana, when he came back to Rameshwaram from Sri Lanka, first of all, he tested the chastity of Sita. He said, I cannot take you back, Sita, because you have been touched by Ravana. So Sita ordered that a fire, a massive fire, be built. And she entered into that fire. And when she entered into that fire, Agni Dev himself appeared just to confirm that she was absolutely pure, faithful, and chaste. And not even for a moment did she consider anything but her beloved Lord Ram. In fact, Agni Dev also revealed that it wasn't the real Sita, but it was an illusory Sita that was captured by Ravana, because the real Sita could never be under the control of a materialistic person. So the original Sita was brought back to Sri Ram. Her chastity was unfailingly confirmed. And the place where that funeral pyre was, not funeral, that fire, is a ghat where everyone took their bath. After taking bath there, at that very place, it is the tradition, the custom, to take 22 baths and 22 holy wells created by Ramchandra before going to see the deity of Rameshwar. So each of our 250 devotees unanimously requested to take all 22 baths. How many of you have taken 22 baths within half hour in different places? Devotees were very happy. A very happy occasion. And each one of those wells bestows a particular benediction upon anyone who bathes in them. And each one of those wells has a great history of great saintly persons who have received such tremendous powers and blessings by bathing in those wells. So after bathing in the sea, the devotees bathe in all 22 wells. And then, you're not supposed to dry off between baths either. You're supposed to, in the same clothes that you bathe, you're supposed to come before the deity. So after 22 baths and some mantras chanted by Brahmins, we all went to see the deities. Now, this nice story about the deities. Ram killed Ravana. He returned to Rameshwaram. And the Brahmins told him, the rishis, that you killed a Brahmin. Ravana was the great-grandson of Brahma. He's the grandson of Pulastyamuni. And you killed him. And not only that, but he was a great, great devotee of Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva's the greatest of your devotees. He's one of the most powerful of these living gods of this world. He's an expansion of yourself. So as a matter of etiquette, to set a proper principle for people to follow, you should perform a worship, yajna, of Lord Shiva to atone for the offense of killing his devotee who is a Brahmin. But it has to be done by this particular astrological time. So, Ram told Hanuman that you should go to Mount Kailash, and there you should get a Shivalinga and bring it back, and then we will worship. So Hanumanji, Vayuputra, he jumped, and in one jump he soared through the air and landed in Mount Kailash. And there he received beautiful, beautiful Murti of Shiva, Shivalinga. And he jumped back, but on his way back, he met with Sri Narada Muni. And Narada Muni was offering prayers to him. And then he said, Hanumanji, what is this you are doing? He said, I'm bringing the Shivalinga for Ram to worship. Why? Because he killed a Brahmin, a devotee of Shiva. Narada said, but all of Ravana's army were devotees of Shiva. Many of them were Brahma Rakshasas. So you also killed. So you should also perform such a yajna. So you should get a Shivalinga for yourself also. Hanuman said, ah, that's right, that's correct. So he went back to Kailash and got another one. He had one in each arm. Then he jumped back to Rameshwaram. Meanwhile, time was up. The rishis told Ram, time, it's getting late. Hanuman's not back. So Sita, always anticipating how to please her beloved Lord, she with her own blessed, gentle, and divine hands, she created a Shivalinga out of the sand from the beach of Rameshwaram. Setu Bandha Kshetra. And Ram performed the puja to that murti. And just when the puja was coming to a close, Hanumanji appeared. And he looked at Sita Devi's Shivalinga, and with tears in his eyes and a broken heart, what is this, my lord? Look, I have brought. You are too late. And he was thinking that he had failed. He went so far. He was angry and brokenhearted. And Ram said, listen, Sita Devi will not mind. You just remove her Shivalinga and put yours in replace. So he wrapped his tail around Sita Devi's Shivalinga and he began to pull and pull and pull and pull. According to the local people, his tail was about to break. And the Shivalinga did not move anything. So he was very discouraged. So Lord Ramchandra said, you put your Shivalinga just close by, and I will give the order that whoever comes to this holy place, before they come to worship Rameshwaram, which is Sita Devi's lingam, first they must worship yours and offer respects. So Hanumanji became very happy. Why he called Rameshwaram the name of the deity? And why Ram worshipped? We know that Ram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. On one level, he wanted to show etiquette to that great guru and Paramhamsa Vaishnav, Lord Shiva, who is his own expansion, because he killed his devotee. But on a higher level, the Supreme Lord finds the greatest pleasure in worshipping his devotees. Just as Lord Krishna found such great pleasure in washing the feet and drinking the water from Sudama, his devotee. and in Dwarka how he worshipped Narada when he appeared, and how Lord Ram massaged the legs and feet of Vishwamitra Muni and rendered so many humble services to him. It is the Lord's greatest pleasure to worship his devotees. So Rameshwaram. Prabhupada explains that it means Ishwara, who is the greatest devotee of Ram. And Ishwara, Shiva, who the Supreme Lord Ram, out of love, worshipped with great affection. So we had darshan of Sri Rameshwaramji, and also beautiful kirtan. Have you ever been to Rameshwar temple? It's a beautiful temple, one of the most magnificent temples in all the world. It has the longest corridor and the most columns in one corridor of any temple in the whole world. Very fantastic. So all of the devotees of Sri Radha Gopinath, with great devotion, were dancing gracefully through the corridors of this massive, massive, opulent temple of the Lord. We also went to a place, the place of Vibhishan's Sharanagati, the place where Vibhishan, after he rejected Ravana, his brother, he came to Rameshwaram and he surrendered at the feet of Ram. And at that place also, after the war, Lord Sri Ram coronated Vibhishan, the king of Sri Lanka. What other places in Ramesh? There's a big mountain, and that is the place where Lord Ramchandra's footprints are. When he climbed that mountain, he looked down across to the sea to see where Sri Lanka was. And you could see the whole of the area of Rameshwaram from that mountain. And it was there that Ramchandra assembled the generals of his armies and made all their battle plans before going to Sri Lanka. It's a very beautiful place. And from there, the devotees went to Sri Rangam. Sri Rangam is the capital of the Ramanuja Sampradaya, the Sri Vaishnavas. So many wonderful pastimes took place there. In the temple there is a deity of Ranganath, which also has a beautiful story. It is explained that at the beginning of the Kalpa, Lord Brahma went to the ocean of milk and he began to worship the Lord there in meditation, forming tapasya. And the Lord revealed to him a mantra, Om Namo Narayanaya. And he began to chant that mantra, performing tapasya. And by the power of his devotion, from the ocean of milk arose a beautiful vimana, a beautiful domed enclosure, and within it was Sri Ranganath, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was in a wonderful, gigantic form, laying on Ananta Shesha. And Lord Brahma, he made this deity his personal, worshipable Lord of Life, and brought him to Brahmaloka, Satyaloka. Had Surya, the sun god, also assisting him. And later, all of the kings of the Surya dynasty, the Raghu dynasty, were worshipping that murti. And at the time of Ikshvaku, upon his request, Brahma granted him permission to bring the murti to the earth, to worship on the banks of the Sarayu River in Ayodhya. After Ramchandra completed his exile in the forest and defeated Ravana, he and Sita Devi came back to Ayodhya, and during the coronation, Vibhishan also was present, and Ram gave him as gratitude for his devotion the gift of this murti to bring to Sri Lanka to worship. But on the way, he stopped at this beautiful, beautiful place, an island between two rivers, the Kaveri and the Kororun rivers. And there, the deity would not move. It decided to stay. And Ranganathji told Vibhishan that I will remain here and I will face south to always oversee your activities in Sri Lanka. So he did like that. And from that time, this deity of Ranganath has been worshipped in Sri Rangam. Jamunacharya, who was the guru of Ramanuja, made that his place of worship, where he resided for his long life. And later Ramanujacharya also, after being the guru for the whole sampradaya of Lakshmi Devi, also resided there worshipping that deity. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. There are so many wonderful stories about Ramanujacharya. It is explained that he was so compassionate and so gentle and so humble and so deeply learned that thousands upon thousands of people were becoming pure Vaishnavas due to his influence. And he accepted several of the disciples of Jamunacharya as his guru out of his great humility. One time he approached Mahapurna, who was his initiating guru, and he asked him to give him the sacred mantra. And Mahapurna told him that there's another devotee of the name Gostipurna, and he is the most qualified person to give you the sacred mantra. So Ramanuja went there, and Gostipurna was thinking that this mantra, no one in the world is fit to hear it because it is too pure. Anyone with material desires should not hear this mantra. So, Ramanuja was told that you come back another day. So he came back again and again and again, and Gostipurna would not give him the mantra. He came back 18 times and still he would not give him the mantra. So one day Gostipurna came to Sri Rangam. There was a beautiful procession of the Vijayamurti of Ranganath, and the murti spoke to the pujari, and in the assembly of everybody the pujari said that, Gostipurna, you must give this mantra. This person has no material desires. He is a fit candidate for this mantra. And Gostipurna heard. His heart was a little softened. Meanwhile, Ramanuja was weeping and crying because he was thinking, because I am so fallen and I am so materialistic that I am not fit for this mantra. So when Gostipurna heard about the tears of Ramanuja, the next time Ramanuja came, he told him, yes, I will give you this mantra. But you cannot ever in your life speak it to anyone, because anyone who hears this mantra will be liberated from the cycle of birth and death. And then he gave Ramanuja the mantra. Om Namo Narayanaya. The mantra of the Sri Sampradaya. So Ramanuja offered obeisances to his guru. He became so brilliant and enlightened and illustrious by hearing this sound vibration. And it was as he was walking back to Srirangam from this little village, he saw the people around him, and he was thinking, how they're suffering, how they're so unfortunate. I must do something for them. I must give them this mantra. So anyone who hears it will be liberated from birth and death. So he climbed up on the highest temple in the town, and he called out, anyone who wants the most special, precious gift in all creation, you come to this place. So hundreds and hundreds, practically the whole town was coming to the temple as Ramanuja was on the roof. And they were all begging, praying, please give us this special gift. And Ramanujacharya, he proclaimed, everyone raised their arms. And everyone very loudly chant this holy sound vibration. Om Namo Narayanaya. Om Namo Narayanaya. Om Namo Narayanaya. And everyone became purified. Everyone became devotees of the Lord. And Ramanujacharya told them that now you must chant this mantra, always. Then he went back to his guru's ashram to offer obeisances. And when he arrived, his guru was very angry. In fact, he was furious. He looked at Ramanuja. Why you are coming to me? Get your face out of this place. I never want to see you again. You are disobedient. Get out. And Ramanuja, with great humility, he said, Guru Maharaj, please, let me explain. He said, Guru Maharaj said, because you have committed this offense, you will go to hell. And Ramanuja said, I know, I don't mind. You told me that whoever hears this mantra will never take birth in this material world again. I am so insignificant, and I am so fallen, that if I go to hell forever, what is the loss? But if in my going to hell, all these people can go back home, back to Godhead, I consider that I have done something in this world, in the service of you and in the service of the Lord. I do not mind going to hell if others can come back to Krishna. And upon hearing that, Gostipurna began to weep, he began to cry, and he embraced Ramanujacharya. And he told him that you are better than me. You are my guru. I am your disciple. Such compassion has never been seen. And Ramanuja fell at the feet of his guru and said, no, I am only an instrument of your mercy. So Srirangam is a wonderful place. In fact, the samadhi of Ramanujacharya is very special. When Ramanujacharya left his body, they did not burn him, they did not bury him, but they preserved his original body. So at his samadhi, you see the original body of Ramanujacharya, which is very specially by various herbs preserved and covered with different herbs and forms of chandan. And all of the devotees were bestowed upon the beautiful darshan of Sri Ramanujacharya and Sri Ranganath. And one of our god brothers, Gaur Keshava Prabhu, who is the authority of South Indian theology, he showed us so many wonderful places in Srirangam, taking bath in the river Kaveri, going to beautiful temple, ancient temple of Lord Narasingadev. One night, there was a beautiful puja for Lakshmi Devi, where four Veena players were singing and playing veenas according to the traditional style of raga. And it's very nice. Sri Rangam has a culture where for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, families have had particular services to the deity. Like these veena players are all from certain families who have played for Lakshmi and Ranganath for hundreds and hundreds of years, generation after generation. That is their family's service. Other family's service is to make the giwiks. Other family's service is to make the garlands. Others is to worship the deities. Others is to cook. In this way, the worship has remained very pure and very efficient, generation after generation. And of course, wherever we go, the highlight is chanting the holy names. And many people consider the highlight of the trip to Sri Rangam when we had beautiful kirtan in the house of Venkata Bhatta. It is now called the Jagannath Math. It is the actual place where Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu resided during the 4 months of Chaturmasya. During the Lord's trip to South India, he traveled place to place to place. And when he came to Sri Rangam and danced and chanted in great ecstasy before the Ranganath deity, one devotee named Venkata Bhatta pleaded with him, "Please, it is now the rainy season about to begin, Chaturmasya. For this 4 months, do not travel, stay in my home." So Lord Chaitanya resided there. The brother of Venkata Bhatta was the great Gaudiya Vaishnava saint Prabodhananda Saraswati, and the son was one of the 6 Goswamis, Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Wonderful, wonderful stories are to be told in that place. The mercy of the Lord toward Gopal Bhatta Goswami. How he converted Venkata Bhatta to the realization of the Madhurya Rasa of Vrindavan. These are all told in Bhakti Ratnakar and Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Lord Chaitanya's residence for those 4 months is a very, very holy place. Today there is deities of Jagannath, Subhadra and Balaram. And after traveling through Tirupati, Rameshwaram, Sri Rangam, where everything is very grandiose in Aishwarya, Ras, Leela, when we came to the house of Lord Chaitanya, simple place, devotees felt right at home. This is Lord Chaitanya's place, where he resided. And spontaneously, ecstatically, such a kirtan erupted in that little place that devotees will never forget throughout their whole lives. Is this correct? It was wonderful, wonderful. The energy of Mahaprabhu just erupted in everyone's hearts and made the kirtan unforgettable. Anyone who participated in that kirtan, anyone who saw that kirtan, or anyone who even hears about that kirtan will certainly attain love of Krishna. In due course of time. So, for more details, please ask all these devotees who have participated in the yatra. We have shortage of time. We would like to end with this wonderful, narrating to you this wonderful experience. And many of us had the realization that wherever the devotees are joyfully chanting Krishna's names and serving one another, all the holy places appear at that time.
So let us celebrate the return of the South Indian Yatra by having beautiful kirtan for the pleasure of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. It is all by their mercy. It is through Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Ji, Sri Nithai Gaura Chandra, Sri Giridhari, that we have all the blessed gifts of the spiritual world, the holy name of Krishna, the association of Vaishnavas, their beautiful, eternal, transcendental form of Vrindavan, the opportunity and entrance into these various holy places. Many people have gone to some of these places before, but everyone who had expressed the same realization, that to go in the assembly of devotees and to have wonderful kirtan and to hear the wonderful narrations of the pastimes of those places actually brings these places to life. By the mercy of Sri Radha Gopinath, we have so much wonderful opportunity to perfect our lives in so many wonderful ways. So we should very gratefully offer our appreciation for their mercy by serving their devotees and by coming to offer our lives to them and by giving them pleasure, by chanting and dancing with great sincerity before them. So Vishwarup will give a 5-minute summary of what we have said, and then we will have wonderful kirtan, and then we will have prasad. Thank you very much. Many of you I have not seen since I've come from the US, so please engage me in your service in any way you can think. That will be my good fortune. Hare Bol.